You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Our guy G.I. George said we did not make a strong enough case against the All-AFC North team. I think we did. Tashawn Gibson, I think we made a very strong case. He's in. I think that's automatic.
I agree.
I think the other ones you could go there. You could go
on the offensive side of the ball. You're not replacing anybody with Browns.
No, but Joel Batone. I think Alex Mack over Pouncey.
Alex Mack should have been.
Should have been in there. And you can make the argument for Batonio Zeitler. And you could also make the argument for Pouncey over Mack. But I think Mack is a better player. I think if you're drafting centers in the league right now, Alex Mack's probably the first center that's drafted.
Yeah. And for Joel Batonio, as I mentioned with the top 100, I think he is one season of solid play away from being the Joe Thomas equivalent in our division. Maybe not eight-time, consecutive Pro Bowler, but I meant like looked at as elite talent at the left guard position in our division and the National Football League.
Marshall Yanda, who was the other guard, made the top 100 list at number 79, and deservedly so. Zach Martin did not make it. Is that correct?
I believe so.
It's got to be correct. He wouldn't be this high.
Yeah.
He did not make it. Steve Smith did make it at number 54, by the way.
Yep.
So all three of those receivers, even though you're saying this is a default scenario with that wide receiver, they still have three of the top 54 players according to this year's top 100 list in A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, Steve Smith. You got Doomerville and Suggs, who both made it. So far, so we've had what? There are eight divisions in the NFL.
Correct.
And we're through 80 players. So you should have, 10 players from the AFC North would be about average. So right now you've got Joe Hayden at 23, Joe Thomas at 25, Roethlisberger at 26. That's three. Tyron Smith, by the way, is already on the list. A.J. Green at 37 is four. Doomerville at 46 is 5. Steve Smith at 54 would be 6. Justin Forsett made it at 65, which is 7.
Oh, my God.
Which is 7. Tashawn Gibson at 67, which is 8. They're going to be well over, I think. Maybe not. Marshall Yanda at 79, which is 9. Is that what I said?
Yep.
We're at 9. T. Suggs is 10. Marquise Pouncey is 11. Haloti Ngata, who played there last year but now is gone, would have been 12, but we'll keep it at 11 still. And then you've got C.J. Mosley, which is now officially 12. Joe Flacco is 13.
Good.
So that's 13 of this 80 made it for this division.
Who else makes it from the division?
Antonio Brown is going to be top 20.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell is going to be top 20.
Yep.
A.J.
Green.
A.J. Green's already on it.
Oh, he is. Okay. And you said Roethlisberger.
Yeah, so just going off of this list.
Hayward make it?
Cam Hayward has not been on it. I don't know that he'll make it, though. So Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are the guys that are the big-time guys that have not yet made it onto the list. Cam Hayward maybe makes it on. I don't think so. And that's it.
You're saying the top 25 or top 20?
Top 20. So
Cam
you're probably going to
be top 20.
No, so you're going to add two. You're going to add Antonio Brown,
so
Le'Veon
15
Bell.
Total.
15 total.
And the top 100.
It's pretty good.
Right. So times 8 would be 120. So they're over their percentage. The AFC
Correct.
North is a more talented division on a percentage basis.
Which you can say last year just based on records in
three playoff
of
teams.
The four. Exactly. Best division in football.
So the interesting thing is, and maybe Andre Whitworth could make it still.
Yeah.
If they consider, he didn't allow a single sack last season.
And he's not been on the list
And he
yet.
Has not been on the list yet.
Yeah.
So he could make it. So
sure.
That could be another
So he might
player.
Be the tackle, as we mentioned, that would be,
ahead
of Joe Thomas.
Yep.
So that'd be 16.
So that would be 16.
So you're well ahead.
And then Ngata played in the division last year, so it'd really be 17. But we'll count it as 16. So they said there is for sure one tackle ahead of Joe Thomas. That's what they said last night. On the top.
No,
100.
But that's what we're thinking.
No, that's what we're thinking.
Exactly. Sometimes they say like how many are left or whatever.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking at tackles, it would have to be Jason Peters or Whitworth. I think it's got to be Whitworth. I think Peters is already on the list. Whitworth, he's involved with the Players Association. I'm sure it's got to be Whitworth. He didn't allow a single sack last year.
Yes.
I mean,
And just doing the math, you've got to figure 16 out of 100, 16%. So the remaining seven divisions would only have 12% each, if that makes sense. So we're taking 16%, 16 players out of 100.
Yep.
And so you divide the 84% remaining out of one. There are 84 players divided by seven divisions is 12 players.
Yep.
So 12 players per division is the average. So we're four players above the average.
And every division, in theory, should have 12.5%.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
Which is hard to have half of a person, but that's what they would have. All right, we did promise you.
Maybe it's a kicker.
We did promise you the special teams coordinator, Chris Taver. Here he is.
Are you keeping tabs on me? Are they where you're at accuracy-wise?
Oh, yeah, no. Everything that we do, I'll tell them that, hey, we're charting these kicks. This is part of the whole competition. This goes all the way back when we first started the off season. You know, we kind of took a couple weeks to kind of get into the groove a little bit, let them get their swing, feel comfortable, and we said, okay, the competition's now started. So we've charted everything and have kept a running tab on that, and it's been a very close competition.
Is it good enough right now?
Well, it is good enough because those are the two that are competing, but at the same time, I think it's just like any player in the NFL at that position. You're always going up against other kickers from other teams also. And that's the nature of the business. But those guys are doing a good job. They're controlling what they can control, and the tape will tell us what to do.
Chris, we haven't talked to you since Garrett Hartley was waived, so why do that and just narrow it down to the two guys who haven't played in the regular season yet?
Well, sometimes it comes down to a numbers game in the off season. You know, you go back up to 90 guys. If there's injuries that start taking place and you need to get some guys in here for other reasons, legs or that, and if you're heavy in the specialist area, that's going to be the first area where they're going to look to trim. Obviously, Garrett's a good kicker. Have a lot of respect for him. At the same time, you kind of know what he is and who he is. And we really didn't know about the two young guys, so this just kind of gives them a little bit more of an opportunity, a little bit more of a challenge to compete against each other.
Maybe a lot of you have had changes at every spot, I think, since last year, you know, long snapper, kicker, punter. What's it like for you, and how comfortable are you right now with where you're at?
Well, change is inevitable in the National Football League, and obviously in special teams. With regards to our little area, I guess it creates some unknowns, and as a coach, you're always working on trying to fix those unknowns, and that's what we're doing. I hate to use the coaching cliche, we're going through the process, but we are, and we feel like we got some guys that have NFL talent.
What do you think happened to Christian Young?
Christian just, was competing. He was doing well. That also came down to another numbers thing. At the time, Charlie, we feel really good about him. He's doing a nice job for us. It's just kind of one of those things. We had to. It's tough to have two long snappers, two kickers, and one punter on the roster.
I can't remember. Did you use Taylor Gabriel at punt return? Not during the season, but did you work with him last year as a punt returner?
Yes, he was one of the guys that we've been developing for a long time, and he's gotten so much better at it. He looks so much more comfortable doing it right now than what he did. I mean, this is where he's at now. It has been because of the whole process of going through last year and catching punts in practice, before practice, and he looks good.
I guess what I meant about Young is, do long snappers just kind of like lose it at some?
I don't.
Probably on the same thing happened to him.
But I wouldn't say that Christian's lost it. Ryan was a totally different story. Those rolled back. You know, that was such a different deal. It's a little bit almost like Chuck Knoblauch not being able to throw over to first anymore. Christian's a guy that we know what he can do, who he is. I know that he's still working at his craft. And just because you're not here doesn't mean that I've forgotten about you. We'll keep tabs on everything.
Chris,
know you're a big fan of the new extra point rule. You know, how much input do you anticipate having in those late game decisions now that that just puts another thing on Coach Pett's plate as far as, you know, whether or not to kick it or go for two?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of other factors that, go into it. Obviously, we always discuss those things before the game, and then we discuss them again at halftime. And I don't think it'll be any different. I just think that you'll just see teams that'll be going all out blocks, going after it more, and the pressure to make the kick will be obviously heightened.
Is Duke Johnson in the mix at punt returner?
Not as punt returner, but kick returner. He's developing as a punt returner. He is a kick returner, but we're trying to work at him to be both. It's kind of like the Taylor Gabriel type deal.
What can you say about Andy Lee? I mean, what does he give you that maybe you haven't had before?
Oh, he's a four-time Pro Bowler. You know, obviously, this will be his 12th season. So, obviously, he has the experience, and he's played in a lot of big games. He has a big leg. I know he's showcased that a few times. But he, you know, right now he's just in the process of getting back. Lots of times when guys are going into their 12th or 13th year, they don't start as early as kicking as maybe some of the young guys. So he's just now beginning to work himself back into shape. And then as we go through preseason, it'll be a deal where obviously we don't need him to hit to be perfect for preseason game number one. We just need to build it up so that he's ready to go when we play the Jets.
Like now without Lanning, that your place kicker's got to be deep on kickoffs too. So that's one of the requirements.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors. I have confidence in the guys that'll go down and cover. It'll just depend. We're still going to play to the strength of that player. But if he's not as deep as, let's say, a Billy Cundiff. Billy had, before we let him go, I think 40 touchbacks. We might not hit that number. So if we don't, you know, hang time, and maybe it doesn't go as far, but if it's at six or seven deep with, you know, a 4-1 hang, that'll still put the return man in a bind. Do I bring it out because the guys running down have the ability to cover? So we'll play to whatever the strength of the player is and design it around that.
That was Browns special teams coordinator Chris Tabor there. We'll be back right after this with five key takeaways on the special teams. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Still to come, Mary Kay Cabot at 2 o'clock with us here on CBD.